And so that's where I think the best, most effective strategy is staring at the lights on the console and then focusing on which moles are going to pop out first. That's all the time we have for Whacking with Shaq, the only whack-a-mole podcast featuring me, the big whack-a-mole, Shaquille O'Neal. I'd like to thank my guests, Neil deGrasse Tyson and Condoleezza Rice. You can find them on Twitter at their respective names. Please stay tuned for the Mascot Wedding Show. I wanted to start a show called the Shaq Scott Wedding Show, where I just talk about ascots for weddings and social events. But these two motherfuckers, they took a name similar to that years ago, and I can't do that. I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Tires. Tires, they're good for your car. Until next time, this is the Big Tire, the Michelin Man himself, Shaquille O'Neal. God bless you.
Hey everybody, this is the Mascot Wedding Show, the internet's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta.
And my name is Mac Blake. This is episode 278, the Chronicles of the
Baby with a Big Dick.
Oh, Big Dick Baby. Weirds everybody out.
BDB, yeah.
We are recording here in Austin, Texas at the Hodgecast Studio, the Hodge Pound.
Yeah, home of the Big Dick Baby.
That's right.
I'm going to immediately filibuster this thing I started. I feel terrible about it.
We are your podcast lions. And we have a good show planned for you today. But first, David Hotta, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Nothing.
I don't believe you.
Of interest? No, I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, I just had one of those days where it's just like, this is the only interaction I'm having with the outside world or life or other humans. So I don't think I've been anything, if that makes any sense at all.
Well, are you stressed about something? Do you have any worries in your life?
No.
No?
No.
You're just doing okay?
Yeah. It's kind of depressing now that I think about it.
Why is that depressing? It sounds great.
Well, because I have nothing, like, there's nothing swaying me one way or the other. I'm feeling nothing right now.
Well, who's telling you have to feel something? The mainstream media? The lamestream media, David?
I feel like you are right now.
No, I'm just saying you can feel whatever you want to feel.
Okay.
There's a cartoon show on in the 80s. I want to say it was Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling.
Okay.
And there was an episode where, and I haven't like looked this up just based on my memory.
Yeah.
Where the Andre the Giant had a date. And so the other wrestlers in the Rockin' Wrestling group had to prepare him for his date, right? But he's Andre the Giant. He's too big to wear human clothes.
Sure.
So instead of shoes, they wrap tires around his feet. And something like that. That is what happens to me when I go looking for pants.
Okay.
And so this weekend I went to the Levi's outlet because I needed some more pants because mine ripped. I'm an adult.
In the crotch, right?
Oh, yes, exactly, the crotch. I was stepping off of a higher plane onto a lower plane. Not of existence, just, you know, there was a curb.
I feel like you're bearing the lead with these pants.
And, yeah. And they already had like several little rips because they probably needed to be replaced. But just walking, apparently, not enough for me because they ripped. So I'm now down to one pair of pants.
Got to rotate those out.
Got to rotate them out. Yeah, yeah. I can't have just one relying on one. And so I went to the Levi's outlet, and it was, of course, nothing in my size because I'm a giant. Mm-hmm. And although my favorite part of the trip was going into the dressing room, and like you look in the dressing room, and they have little, like, when you lock the door, it's the same principles in like an airplane bathroom or a portolette, that when you lock the door, it says vacant and it switches to like, you know,
occupied.
Occupied, yes. And so there's one that says vacant. I open the door. I'm staring right at a dude with that pants on.
Hey, all right.
And I'm like, oh, sorry. And then I open another door and there's a lady getting changed. And at that point, I yelled in the dressing room, guys, you got to switch these locks. Get it together. Because I feel like I'm a second away from being accused of being a rowdy, rowdy peeper here.
Of course.
Yeah, like, hey, 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 gotcha.
Yeah, just plowing through each door.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like looking for your daily wares.
Yeah. And then I open a third one and there's no person inside, but I guess that person is out walking around the dressing room because it's just their things.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I hate this now. And then the jeans, of course, not fitting because it's too small.
Yeah.
Also, the Levi's outlet in San Marcos, you can get hit by a plane.
Okay, I don't care. I have two questions.
Shoot.
First, if this is too personal, then I apologize. What are your measurements, if you don't mind
me
asking?
Well, I'm a 36 inseam.
Okay.
And that is not something they do.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah, they stop at a 34.
And I'll tell you why I asked that, because I went shopping for what ended up being a suit this weekend. It just started off as a pair of dress pants, but I bought a whole fucking suit.
Mm-hmm.
While I was doing it, we ran into this lady at a store, and she was shopping with her son, and she was like, excuse me, do you know where I can find, like, shorts for larger people? And so she was talking about her son, who was 6'5", and having the same problem. And so I was
he a big fat guy?
No, he was just a, he was just a beanpole. Kids danced around Monday 1st. Yeah, so my girlfriend and I looked at each other and were like, what does Mac do for shopping? Like, you know, we were trying to put ourselves in your giant shoes, try to figure it out.
I can only shop online now.
Yeah.
Except for shirts, which somehow fit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, shirts are made for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, every shirt that's long sleeve is a little short, but, you know, that's life.
Yeah.
I roll them up anyway because we're in Austin. It's hot here. Hey, we have a very special studio guest who's been patiently listening to us blah, 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 blah problems. He is the creator of Ghetto Sketch Warlock. He's a frequent performer at Cold Town Theater, and he's also going to be appearing at the upcoming Austin Sketch Fest, which is May 20th through the 25th here in Austin, Texas, as part of the group The Tastemakers. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brian Lubu Roberts.
Yay! Hello. Yay. I was wondering if I should have interjected my own opinions into that or just waited for you to introduce me.
Let's hear them after the fact.
Do you have any opinions?
No.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, I thought I did, but I can just, I'm just...
You were mistaken?
I have a normal body, so it's just like, oh, you know, that's a shame.
Yeah,
I would
have
said stuff like that.
Poor you. Yeah. I was hoping you would ask my follow-up question, which is, what did that girl in the second stall look like?
Oh, I was real quick to react.
Yeah.
So, she was fully clothed. It was just, oh, she's an older lady.
Oh, okay.
That's all I really remember. I wasn't
little gray box.
Yeah, I wasn't like, oh no, I'm going to close this door. And then I just stop and I'm like, what's happening?
You didn't do that like a sitcom thing where you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And it's like, close the door. It's like, oh, I apologize, madam. Yeah.
I might have.
I used to do that thing where I was
not
like, I'd pretend to look for my mom and just be like, oh, you're not my mom. And then close the door.
It doesn't matter that I'm a 33-year-old man.
No, your mom's lost.
Oh, okay.
See, everybody's concerned
now. Oh, I'm looking for my mom. I'm looking for her.
Yeah.
Not I'm looking for her to protect me.
No, no, no. Well, I mean, there was an age where it switched. We don't have to talk about this right now.
Okay.
Brian Roberts, how are you?
I would have been like, hello, and then closed the door and just ran away.
Boing.
No, no, no. I mean, depending on what you look like.
Oh, okay.
But I still would have closed the door and ran away, regardless of what I said.
Okay. I have a scenario question. Is this sexist if you accidentally open the door and someone's there? Give them a rating. Just be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. 7-8.
Yeah, over there we go.
7-8. 6.
Because depending on what it is, you know, they might feel great about themselves.
I feel like if you're going to give a low score, you should always give their drunk score.
Yeah.
Oh, 6. Hey, drunk 9.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they need notes on their body. Like, you open the door.
Uh-huh.
Whoa. Hey, you know what? You could really do some sit-ups.
Mm-hmm.
10 sit-ups a day. You know,
tighten up those yam-yams.
Yeah.
I was, I don't remember what year this was, but I was flipping around the dial, and there was some show where people, it's like Hot or Not, the TV show?
Yes.
Lorenzo Lamas was a...
That is correct.
Yeah, and he was like looking at someone's face, and he had a laser pointer, and he was highlighting, he's like, yeah, you're handsome, but I mean, these cheekbones, they just need, and like highlighting a person's cheekbones, they can't change that.
Yeah.
What do you, like, you want them to cut open their face? And I was just like, I hated that show so much.
That's why it didn't last very long. Yeah. It was a typical summer show, but, and yeah, like, Lorenzo Lamas, come on.
If you see Lorenzo Lamas in front of an open manhole cover, no one, if you push him in, the only thing you'll hear is applause. No, no slapping on of handcuffs, no slamming of a prison door. Just the applause of a grateful nation.
It's the reason I have a laser pointer on my keychain in case I ever run into him.
Yeah. Maybe a solo voice in the background. Like, why was he famous?
Renegade, no.
Who was that?
Follow, they'll run in after him.
Did you just kill that? Whoa, 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 whoa. Was that what Lando Tolo was? That was Renegade. All right, good job, man.
I'm going to turn my back.
Hey, you know what? I didn't see nothing except a hero doing what heroes do.
Let it ride, big man. Let it ride.
I like that he would call anyone in the scenario big man, even if it was like a, well, especially if it's a little kid.
Well, sure.
I find it's fun to call little kids big men.
Yeah, because he's a big man because he pushed Lorenzo Lamas down the manhole. Yeah.
Brian Lubu Roberts.
What's up?
Lubu.
Yes.
What's up with that? That's not your name.
It's not my name. My name is Brian,
yes.
As you have already said.
Hi, yeah. Brian.
Hello.
Oh, good.
So it's a nerdy, this is a nerdy story.
Oh, please.
And
this,
so,
have you heard this podcast before? The original title was Nerdy Stories.
Okay. So feel free to cut me off if you're just like, wow, this story is really boring.
And we'll be right back.
So I was a senior in high school.
Cut you off at any time?
At any
God
time.
God damn it. Don't let him do this.
Sorry. No, I won't. Please.
At any time. I have no faith in the interesting value of this story.
I will behave now, please.
I was a senior in high school. I just got a PlayStation 2. I had Dynasty Warriors 2 for the PlayStation, which is a video game based off of the Three Kingdoms era of China. Where, you know, you had the Three Kingdoms and they were warring.
I don't, but that's fine.
Well, picture Game of Thrones, but everyone's Asian.
That's how I relate to history.
Okay, so...
There's a channel. Picture Game of Thrones.
So there was a great warrior called Lu Bu, mm-hmm. which is... Like, Bu was his first name and Lu was his last name, but you say mm-hmm. Lu Bu.
We know how the Asian names work, Lu.
Okay, good, good, good. So you could be him in the game if you, like, did enough stuff. And so once you were him, you could fight all these guys. And so what would happen when you fought them is you'd hit a guy... And the guy would fly 50 feet in the air away from you mm-hmm. and die instantly. And also, any guy that he touched with his body would also fly very far and die instantly.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I thought that was the coolest thing ever, so I renamed myself Lu Bu. Mm-hmm. And it didn't catch on in high school, but it caught on in college when I started doing improv. Because all those people are goofy, so they loved it.
So you kept, you were like, you know what? No one, this isn't. Didn't catch on in high school. I'm going to keep introducing myself as it. How did you?
Well, I took it as an online internet name because it was my older one was Big B, which
that's not going to work.
In retrospect, is really dumb. But I thought Lu Bu was crazy enough to work, and it did. But people just started calling me that kind of in normal conversation. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do that.
Did you ever have to explain to them where Lu Bu came from?
Every time.
Okay.
Every time I had to explain that.
So even knowing that, they were still like, you know what? We're going to call you this anyway.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of U's in it, and I don't think that's a common thing for people's names.
Mm-hmm. You must like this. You must like this name, though.
Well, yeah. Or else I would really give up on it.
Yeah.
Because people have been like, why do you call yourself Lu? Why do you do that? You could just call yourself Brian. And I'm like,
I don't know why that.
Dude, there
everybody
are
pressure made me laugh.
There are a lot of Brians in the community, so it's just easier to pick me out from the other Brians.
Yeah,
this is true. You know, there's also a lot of Courtneys in the community, but I think all the Courtneys in the community are pretty funny. So instead of if there's a Courtney out, if your name is not Courtney, I go ahead and change it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Unless you're super funny.
But there's a lot of deadweight Brians out there. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Name one right
Brian,
now.
Brian Gutman. Oh, my Lord. Oh, no, wait. I like him. I can't even name another Brian. But Brian's a typical, or not typical. It's a common name.
You named one. You did what I asked you to do.
So. Yeah, but yeah, I like Brian Gutman, though.
You did Lubo's bidding.
Yeah.
All you want me to name one?
Yeah. No, I know Brian Gutman.
Yeah.
He's an all right guy.
Oh, what does that mean?
No, I just said he was an all right guy.
Yeah, well, that
was, you said it like,
you
he's
damned,
an all right guy.
You damned him with faint praise.
You're misinterpreting the inflection in my voice. Oh, I was just like, he's an all right guy.
I don't feel like we are. What are your thoughts on the Holocaust there, Lu Bu?
It was pretty bad.
Oh, that's
that sounds weird.
I know.
Sounds weird that you said it that way.
But you believe it happened, right?
I sure do.
See, again, it's not really clicking with me.
Yeah, I feel like you are... cutting bait on this.
Yeah.
Wait, does that make sense?
No.
Let's not dwell on it.
Look, guys, I think the important thing is that I'm being sincere.
See, I don't again.
This feels really, really wrong.
Wait, where are you right now? Who are you talking to?
Well, I'm in the Hodge Pound. The Hodge Pound?
Yeah.
I was going to call it that even before you called it that.
Oh. Because it's a catchy
name. Do you call it that all the time?
Yeah.
I kind of have to.
Okay.
So long time listener of the show. Brian... Lu Bu Roberts.
It just got in my head, and I thought it was an original thought.
But you're having a good time here, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was great.
That one sounded sincere.
Yeah.
So, Brian, you do sketch comedy, and you...
Primarily.
Traditionally performed as... You'd say sketch more than improv?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to. Improv is kind of easier to do just because you can go do it.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
But I try to do sketch more.
So you used to perform as Ghetto Sketch Warlock, and more recently you've been performing as The Tastemakers.
Yes.
What's why expand?
Well, here's the thing with Ghetto Sketch Warlock.
Please.
With that, I'm writing everything myself and doing everything myself, which is hard to do.
But you don't got to put up with sheeple, right? I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, like, you can have other eyes on your work, but it's not really a process of... You write the sketch, and then it gets improvised a little bit, and people get to put their own thing on it.
Yeah.
It's just you write it, you tell people what to do, and you do the show.
Sure. Yeah.
But with Tastemakers, I mean, it's nice because it's an actual writing group. So people bring in their own stuff, and we all look at it. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, there's less... Like, I don't have to write as much. Because I did an hour show back in 2012.
Yeah.
Which was just murder.
That's a lot of fucking talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Were you, like, just dead after the show?
I mean, pretty much. It was a run, so we did 4 weeks of it.
Uh-huh.
And I had a cast, but I was pretty much doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're pretty dead at the end of it.
I also find that with projects where I am the only person involved in that project, my accountability goes right out the window because it's like, oh, Mac, you didn't do that thing today. Mac's not going to be mad at you because he's a cool boss. Like, yeah. You know, that's like if there's other people that are like waiting on something, then I'll get it done.
Mm. Yeah.
So who else is in Tastemakers?
Okay, it's four guys all together. It's me, Ben Mastin from New York, and then Kyle Trauber.
Ben Mastin from New York, as he demands to be introduced.
Yeah.
That's just what I say because I want people to know that we have a guy that's not from Texas.
Yeah, exactly. You have one of the big city guys coming in here showing us how it's done.
On our flyover state.
We have it's a national troop, that's what I like to call
it. Sure, nationally recognized.
And then Kyle Trauber, who's a local guy. Mm-hmm. A pretty cool guy, and Quinn Buckner. Mm-hmm. And Kyle and Quinn are pretty much like best friends, so I took them in as a unit.
But Quinn is funny on his own, right?
I mean, yeah. He's a pretty funny guy.
I guess.
But he does a lot of work with Kyle.
Yeah.
You know, but he's funny on his own. Yeah.
Did they come to you to be a part of this, or did you say, hey, I want to do a group thing now?
No, I just wanted to do a group thing. I remember gathering them for sketch cover night. Mm-hmm. And we did those sketches last year, and I was like, oh, you guys are really easy to work with. Mm-hmm. So we just started meeting weekly. And
that's cool.
Sometimes we write. Sometimes we just get completely derailed and play board games.
Sure.
We played this game, Risk Legacy. This is going to get nerdy.
I can't wait the name that you got from it.
Here's the thing. Risk Legacy is a game you have to play 15 times in order to actually complete the game.
Okay.
So you have to play 15 individual games.
You have to build a legacy.
Yeah.
Oof. Board games, how you coming?
Yeah, so by game 8, we all hated each other, and then by game 15, we had reached this kind of zen peace.
Oh.
Which is really great. Yeah. So if you want to unite with people on that kind of level, you should play Risk Legacy.
That's all right.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of like the sketch group Dave and I are in, except replace game with show and game 8 with show 1.
Sketch cover night last year, was that the first time that you performed with the Tastemakers?
Yes, but that was actually, I was labeled as Ghetto Sketch Warlock for that show, because I'm the one that contacted everybody. So sure. Technically it was Ghetto Sketch Warlock stuff, but that was the first time the Tastemakers had performed together.
Okay. Because I'll say this, as someone who was there and as anyone who was there can attest, you guys were awesome. Like,
yeah, well, those guys are all, I mean, they've been doing it for a while, and I've known them for a while, except Ben, who I just kind of dragged in. He's from New York. I had to get him because he's from New York.
Yeah.
Also, it's nice to work with a bunch of people because they bring different perspectives for sketches. Because here's the thing, all my sketches are incredibly negative. Like, I want there to be conflict in all my sketches, and I want that conflict to be resolved by someone being punished severely.
Yeah, you're like a real Dostoevsky of a sketch over there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
There you go. Finally.
Ah, high praise. Mm.
You led someone right into the quote you wanted.
But no, it's nice. Like, Kyle just wrote this sketch about two trees. We're going to do it at Sketchfest.
Uh-huh.
The sketch is really only about one tree wanting the other tree to join Leaf Club, which is a club for trees with leaves.
Mm.
And the other tree wanting the first tree to join Tree Club, which is a club for trees. And they have this conversation.
Oof, you got to get ask those hippies.
They're able.
when does Kyle get punished in that sketch?
No, that's...
I'm back on board.
They punish each other.
There we go.
And at the end, there's kind of a mutual sadness, which I don't have. Usually there's just one guy gets crushed and the other guy's like, hey.
Jeez. Well, cool beans.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tastemakers are performing the Wednesday of Sketchfest, right?
Yes. Wait, is Tuesday the first day?
Tuesday's the first day.
Then yes, Wednesday.
Wednesday, May 21st.
8:30
p.m.
Uh-huh.
At Cold Town Theater. And it's actually, the way that show's going to work is opening up the show is Vanilla Presley.
Yeah, they stole my gimmick.
What's your gimmick?
Oh, I'm a white rapper. Which, by the way, I was in a bad mood today because I thought I was gonna get this callback for a unique rapper commercial.
Mm-hmm. Was it Custom Sounds for the new Dr. S?
No. This was, I think it's for some kind of boat liner or something. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Wow.
I have no idea.
Interesting.
Anyway, for some reason, I was convinced I was going to get the callback. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't get it, and I was like, why didn't I get the callback? Oh, because everyone who looks like me is a rapper.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's been a bad day because I was just like, oh, why did you have hope? Why did you even have hope?
And this audition didn't come in like 2012 when like you were the only game in town as far as white comedic rappers go.
Yeah, they've been coming up. Yeah. And what's great is more women have been coming up. Katie Moore.
That's right.
Doing some rapping. Good stuff.
Yeah, her
really?
Sister.
I'm going to have to see that to believe it.
You know we're recording right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, she's very funny, but yeah. I mean, there's a, I know a lot of funny people that, when you tell me like they do, they got some,
yeah,
some skills at the
I've
mic.
Heard, I've heard great things.
Listen, oh, okay. Mac, I've seen a lot of people around town.
Yeah.
You got to take it from me. All right.
She's, you know what?
She's a real good rapper.
Oh, see, there you go.
Okay. Now we're back on board.
But honestly, if you endorse her, then I believe it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Cause I feel like, yeah, I'm sure you'd have a pretty low tolerance for bad comedy rap.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just go out there and, you know, act super black and like it can be super racist.
That's the best thing is when I was listening to, oh, this might segue nicely into another segment, Mascot Wedding Radio Watchdog. There we go. I was listening to Jay Moore Sports.
Easy watchdog.
I was listening to Jay Moore Sports on the radio because sports radio in this town is garbage. Yeah. They finally there was a station that had the ESPN content.
Yes.
And they dropped it. But now they finally brought back Colin Cowherd.
Oh, great.
And I will say, though, Colin Cowherd is a blowhard. He's good at presenting his arguments.
Sure, I'll buy that.
He moves a show along. It's still like, but here you go. The fact that I'm like, oh, thank God, Colin Cowherd. Oof, we're in rough shape.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, he's less offensive than a Skip Bayless type. Like,
Skip Bayless. But anyway, on Jay Moore Sports, bloof, I hate that I keep saying that name.
Yeah,
he had like a freestyle rap competition because apparently Comedy Bang Bang didn't copyright that. And there, one of the producers was like, "It's like, you ready?" He's like, "I'm ready." And they're like, "All right, go." And he's like, "I'm gonna kill you." He's like, "Whoa!"
All right.
Like when when someone's like, "I'm gonna rap, yo," and they like drop their voice and say, "Yo,
hey, man."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Boo. Nothing worse than that. Nothing. But that is cool. I'm sure it's gonna be a really fun show. You guys have done a good job last year, and then you were Get a Sketch Warlock the year before, right?
Yes.
And that was a super funny show.
Oh, thank you.
Not that the last show wasn't funny, but that was the first time I saw Chicken on the Chaw.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you got another guy in that show, Kevin Williamson, who at some point during the show got frozen. Right?
Yeah, yeah. We froze him in the back of a sketch.
Yeah, and then so for the rest of the show, he was just frozen on stage.
Yeah.
And he managed to like hold like a frozen pose pretty much the entire show.
Yeah.
And that's impressive.
He really wanted to please me, and that was really
Did you punish him later? Did his character get punished?
No, he was great, because the guy who did that originally was Eric Heiberg, who's like kind of a golden god of Austin Improv.
Never heard of him.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, that's before our time.
I'm Mac Blake. I'm a stand-up.
Oh, that was a pretty good Mac Blake impression, too.
I don't like it. The Twinkies.
Talk about how long his legs are.
My legs are so long. Oh, my God. My pants ripped.
It's like there's two of them here.
Hold on. Let me write down this material. I'm getting a new 8 minutes out of it. I measure my time in 8-minute chunks. That's the most they'll let me do in an open mic.
Well, I'm super jealous of your ability to do stand-up, also, I wanted to say.
Well, I wanted to talk about that with you, because you, it seemed like around this time last year, were doing a little bit more stand-up.
Yeah, I dabbled lightly. I entered Funniest Person in Austin. Yeah, and I performed in your round, and that was a super good round. Like, all the guys that like actually got out of that round got to the finals.
That was a tough round. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had a good time, and people seemed to enjoy it.
You had a great set, too.
You had a good set, yeah.
I liked the set I did. Yeah.
Solid set.
I'm just one of those guys where I feel obligated when I do stand-up to be like joke, like one-liner jokes.
Okay.
Which I don't write that way. So if you've noticed, most of when I do it, it's mostly like stories, and I try to like pepper in some jokes.
So why feel obligated to do that on stage?
I don't, because I see other people do it, and it's just like, oh, that's so good when they do that. I'm so impressed.
It's tough with the Funniest Person in Austin contest, which is what we're talking about. It's the sets are 6 minutes long, and they kind of lend themselves to quicker jokes.
Yeah.
Because it's only 6 minutes, you know, like, if someone gets up there and tells one story, I feel like that's held against them for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. And it better be like a powerhouse story with jokes throughout. You can't just build up to the biggest punchline in the world because you haven't made them laugh in between.
And I do try to write that way. Like, I know that the story by itself is not super entertaining or funny, but I'll go off on tangents and stuff that will support it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, is that's the way I used to write. I'd go to an open mic and I'd be like, I got an 8-minute story. I got to make this thing last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And then because, you know, you're not getting longer sets when you're starting out, your 4 to 5 minute jokes, you know, you start condensing them and making them tighter and tighter and tighter. And now that I've been fortunate to have the opportunity to do more longer sets, got to learn that grammar.
No, that's great.
It's good. Plus good.
it's like, yeah, it's
that's pretty good.
It's like, oh, now I need to start building back up, like super, not super long, but longer pieces.
Right.
Ooh.
And so what I'm trying to say is life is stupid.
That sounds about right. That sounds like every lesson.
No, so, I would like to. It's like I do a lot of sketch, yeah, which takes up a lot of my time. Like I do a weekly show at the institution now too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that. I mean, if I find a chunk of time where I'm not doing anything, I would sign up for an open mic or something. But that's
only so many hours in a day, my man.
Yeah, man.
Well, let's talk about your weekly sketch show. So that's it's Fuck It's Hot.
Fuck It's Hot.
At the Institution Theater.
Yes.
What was the impetus for Fuck It's Hot?
It's basically Tom Booker had an idea to do just an Austin-based sketch show that, you know, I'm not going to shit on Esther's or anything. Esther's Follies.
That's okay.
But something edgier than Esther's.
Oh, something edgier than Esther's. So you're anything?
You're going to go after that son of a bitch Lloyd Benson?
Yeah. I mean, it's not... So, I mean, and that wasn't Tom Booker's idea. That's how I interpret Tom Booker's idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tom's very, he loves those Esters guys, and so do I. Mm-hmm. But that's how I interpret it. And he got, you know, Brinley Halbrin.
Yeah. Brinley Halbrin, yeah, yeah.
He writes most of the show,
mm-hmm,
and so we just put that up every week.
A lot of ukulele in it then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a new show every week, or is it?
No, it's, the process we have right now is we have a complete show, and what we're going to do is kind of rotate in new material as it goes on.
Okay, so like in Esther's.
Yes, exactly like Esther's.
Okay.
Just
but
for the record.
Edgier.
Sure.
Just for the record, I like Brinley. I don't want it to come across like I didn't. And also for the record, I've never seen Esther's Follies.
I have.
Me neither.
Is it as bad as I want it to be?
It's exactly what you think it is, okay, but it's like I'm at that age where I still respect them for trying stuff.
Yeah, man, you know what? That's come across where at an Austin Sketchfest meeting we were talking about Esther's Follies came up, and it was something like, you know what? Those guys pack the house every weekend, yeah, like, hats off.
It's a non-threatening fun time.
No, the thing is, I mean, they found an audience,
yeah,
that loves them, and they entertain them consistently. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You can't.
That's congratulations.
Exactly. Good,
yeah,
for them.
What's there to hate? I mean, hey, it ain't my cup of tea. Yeah. Who cares? I'm just one guy.
They're paying the bills on six. You know, yeah, how hard that is?
Yeah. They're getting it done.
I mean, they pay the performers.
Yeah.
Let's
not let that get around.
Yeah. And let's also not dwell on the fact that they steal material for the people submit for auditions. Let's not focus on that.
No, let's not. Let's focus on that.
That sucks. They should be arrested.
Oh, my God.
But I notice one thing about Fuck It's Hot, besides the name, because it's just out there and in your face.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are expanding your social media presence. So, like, I'll see, like, Sunday morning just retweets of people tweeting at Fuck It's Hot.
Yeah, mostly that's just before the show, we're just like, live tweet us. And we have a fake John Ailey on the show,
mm-hmm,
who reads the tweets.
John Ailey, of course, a Austin radio presence. So what time is Fuck It's Hot? It's a weekly show.
Yeah, Saturdays at 10.
Saturdays at 10. And doing a weekly show, is that a grind? Or, I mean, how you been handling that stress, buddy?
It was a grind right when we were, the week before you're preparing the show to get it first up,
yeah,
in front of an audience. That's when it's a grind. Because that's the first time you're doing all the sketches. So you have to rehearse all the sketches, rehearse all the songs, mm, constantly. And then the show's ready to go. Now we're in a state where we're just going to kind of work in new material. So every week we're going to meet, come up with something, put it in the show, remove something else. So it's probably going to be a little easier to deal with as we go on.
Yeah, it's this weird thing in Austin that I feel like there's, oddly enough, there's pressure to do new stuff all the time, which is weird because it's like Master Pancake, they do a one show for a month.
Yeah.
Esther's Follies does one show for ever. And like Second City, they'll like rotate in shows everyone, but it's like, you know, every other sketch group in town, like the Hustle Show, new, yeah, show every month, like a Bad Example, new show every month. And like even when we do stuff with Stag, we have this one sketch involving hunting that I feel like we've done a whole bunch of times.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, we've done this sketch so often. But when I do stand-up, I've told the same joke, like, forever.
Yeah, all my stand-up jokes from when I first started, I still do.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know why, for some reason, doing a sketch for the eighth time, I'm like, boh, I'm beating this dead horse.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'll do a stand-up eight times in 1 week.
And it kind of goes back to the a point that we've made, maybe off the air, maybe on the air. But, like, sketch comes in a distant third in this town behind stand-up and improv.
Yeah.
So much work goes into sketch, and, like, such higher expectations are for sketch. Like, oh, cool, you did that one sketch. I better not ever see that again.
Yeah, I think it's maybe because, you know, stand-up, you could do two shows a week. Or, sorry, You can do two shows a night easily in this town.
Yeah.
Well, but a sketch, if you do two shows a week, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's always like a numbers thing. Like, when you do stand-up, I mean, how many audience members are seeing you for the first time or that joke for the first time?
Yeah. It's interesting because I always think that I'm right near the precipice of where, like, everyone who's going to see me in this town has seen me. And so they're real tired of my act, but it's like, there's a million people in Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think 40 people at a time, you're going to use them up pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that a million people are like, hey, let's all go see stand up. Like, you know.
Yeah. The same 40 people aren't going back to defensive driving to just be like, no.
I teach defensive driving.
I know, but they get the passes there to go to Cap City.
That's true.
There's the other stand ups, though, with their eyes, their judging eyes. Yeah.
That's another thing, too, is you can't play the back of the room. Or play the back of the room. Fuck it. Yeah. Fuck you, sheeple. I don't know why you got a guitar riff there.
So how's the turnout for Fuck It's Hot going?
It's been really good so far, actually. I'm pretty impressed with how it's been.
Good.
Do you have the ear of Tom Booker?
I want to believe I do.
Okay. Tell him, here's my idea.
Okay.
Brian Luba Roberts presents Fuck It's Hot, starring Brian Luba Roberts.
Okay. I'm in the show a lot.
Okay, but yeah, exactly. David?
You're not top lining.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, I don't think I'm enough of a name to top line anything.
Let's find out.
You know, that kind of bad attitude hurts my heart. If you maybe aim for the stars on this one, stars are what you'll get.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something, all right? I just didn't get a call back. You remember that when I didn't get a call back?
Yeah.
Well,
okay, well, I'm sorry you're not selling car speakers week. Maybe
I'm
next
not,
week you
I'm
are.
I'm not selling a yacht trip. That's what I'm not selling. Well, I could have been...
All right, let's do a little March Madness with everybody in the cast. Let's see who you're more famous than. So, Brantley Halbrin, Ron, are you more famous?
He won Funniest Person in Austin, so no.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
That's not true at all.
No, he didn't.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Did he tell you that?
I read that.
No,
I read that in a thing.
In something that he wrote?
Hold on. Now, you know, there Funniest Person in Austin has existed before 1999.
Got a good look at that wall.
Yeah. Pretty sure when they put Mac on it, he took a look at it.
No offense to Brantley, but it's incorrect.
Man, maybe... I'm going to check that out. I got to check that out.
Are you thinking of Brian Gutman?
No, I know Brian Gutman.
I will say this. I saw Brantley Halbrin. He's very funny on an episode of Friday Night Lights. Brian Luba Roberts not on Friday Night Lights.
No, that is true.
Oh, I never even bothered to go to Friday. I mean, I never bothered to audition for that.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'd say that advantage Lubu.
Look, can we be honest with you? Can we drop the charade, David?
Yes, please.
Mascot Winning Show, that's not even a thing, Brian. Yeah. David and I are artist representation.
This thing is awesome. This show is a great show.
It's garbage. It's a fake. It's a front.
Yeah, it's yeah.
We just do it to recruit talent, and we think you got what it takes.
Yeah.
To do what?
To not do what is a better question.
Okay.
Yeah. We're like the box in a Bugs Bunny cartoon with a little sandwich underneath the box. We're trapping artists around
That's
here.
That's great. I like that you guys are proactive. I'm an order taker, straight up, so you tell me what to do.
I'm going
to
give you some products. And you just do some freestyle, blue sky product pitching. How's that
All right,
sound?
Man. Give me a product.
Okay, let's go with Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its?
Go.
Hey, baby. Why don't you sit down?
Mm-hmm.
Open your mouth.
I like it so far.
Stick out your tongue. Taste it.
Okay.
You like that cheesy flavor? Oh, that crispy crunch on your teeth?
Work the product name in there.
Hold on,
you don't talk to me like that. Work the product.
I'll talk to you however I want to. You understand?
Is that me or the character?
All right, I'm gonna need one of you to finish because I am rock hard right now.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You're rock hard. Are you ready? You ready?
Yeah.
You're ready. Cheez-Its.
God damn it.
Oh, Cheez-Its.
God damn it.
Cheez-Its. Do it. Cheez-Its. I want you to do it. Cheez-Its.
That was great.
Yeah, that was really good.
If you don't mind waiting right there, David, I'm gonna kind of talk to you over here. For
a second? Sure. One second. Yeah.
That was awful. We need to get out of here.
Yeah. I was hard, but for different reasons entirely.
I know. I saw too that attractive couple walked by.
Yeah.
I also started imagining them bone.
Yeah, I was just kind of rubbernecking a little bit, and then I heard Cheez-Its in my cans, and I was like, I gotta pretend that this boner's for that.
So fake a fire. Do you got a phone call you gotta do? How do we get out of here?
How about we just like give them the old look over there?
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian.
Oh, sorry.
Excuse me. What is that over there?
What?
We'll be right back. I do have more stuff, by the way, for the Mascot Wedding Radio Watchdog.
All right, let's hear it.
I got three things.
Jesus, someone listened to a lot of radio today.
Well, it's not all today.
Okay.
Although none of it's today.
I don't know why I said today. I knew exactly what you meant.
So one of them was I was listening to an Express game, not on purpose. I was looking for a playoff basketball game, which It's not broadcast on the radio because people don't appreciate the good stuff.
Right.
They'd rather fucking play a Express, Round Rock Express baseball game than some quality playoff basketball.
Although I'm pretty sure that's on a different station, but go ahead.
Oh, not the Spurs. Or it was, you know, I wasn't listening to Spurs. It was like, oh, who's winning that Wizards game? Or
okay.
I forget which game it was.
Oh,
it was like,
see, I've got SiriusXM, so I get every game. Anyway, go ahead.
My car is
rich.
I'm insanely rich. I bought a suit this weekend. Didn't even mean to. Go ahead.
I drive around in a tricycle with the Radio Shack radio man.
Yeah.
Okay. But then they were talking about a baseball player and his name, as pronounced by the announcer, Jimenez.
Yeah.
There's no way that's true, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, you know what? There is, but I doubt it.
Because we have a friend, Carlos Lorada.
Yes.
And his last name is really Lorota.
Yes.
And at some point it's Lorada, but at no point is Jimenez, right?
No.
Okay. That was garbage number one.
Yeah.
Garbage number two, I was listening to, oh, geez, I don't want to name them, but I believe it's Bucky Godbolt and Aaron Hogan.
Let's go ahead and say it. Yeah.
Yeah, those pieces of shit. And
wait, say that first guy's name again.
Bucky Godbolt.
These sportscaster names are incredibly weird.
But it's such a, that actually sounds like a better name than it, I mean, like, if it belonged to anybody else, that would be a pretty cool name, like a Wes Mantooth type.
What was that guy's name you mentioned earlier? Buddy Crapspin?
Bucky Godbolt? Was that it?
No, before, like way before, or much, much earlier.
Brian Gutman.
Oh, Brian, no?
Gutman.
Pretty good name, too.
Anyway.
I will say I have met Aaron and Bucky, and in real life, couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, is that right?
I'm just talking about their radio show persona.
Yeah.
Actually, the one time I met Bucky, he talked about how he just filled a radio studio full of farts.
Cool.
So there you go.
That old
reviews
silver
of the show
fox.
Do not reflect the views of Charlie Hodge. Anyway, so we are, they were talking about some Texas OU thing, because that's all people in this town care about.
Okay.
And they were just like, yeah, this at one point, this little OU fan walked by and he flipped me the bird. And they were like talking about this little kid flipping him the bird. And Bucky was like, yeah. Then at some point I was like, you know what, Junior, I'm going to call your mom. And this lady standing right next to me was like, I am your mom. I was like, you're his mom? Oh, she couldn't have been more than 15. And they're like laughing it up. And he's like, he's like, seriously, this kid was like 7 or 8. And she was what, 20? I was like, if that, maybe 16. And I'm like, oh, is this fucking Boardwalk Empire? Like, is this, hey, this girl was probably raped.
Yeah.
When she was 8 years old herself.
Yeah.
And now she's a 16-year-old with an 8-year-old kid.
Let's unpack the life of this lady to figure out why she's got such an old kid at her age.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like, hey, leave it be.
Yeah.
Coming up this hour, we analyze one woman's personality based on one thing.
Yeah, exactly. Children as character flaws. Coming back up.
And then the final piece of Radio Watchdogness, I was listening, again, just basketball games hadn't come on that day, mm-hmm. So I was listening to the radio as I was driving around, trying to get hyped, and it was some show on, I don't remember this station, oh, you know, it was a Fox Sports broadcast.
Okay.
And they have the shows in the morning, which are, they are thinly disguised gambling shows.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where they like do a little sports talk, like, oh, Popovich has really got this, so what do you see the line at? You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so this guy, his name was Sam Amico, and they were talking about the NBA and the frequent hiring and firing of coaches in the NBA. Do you know what maybe a term I'm getting at here, David?
The coaching carousel?
Yes. He said coaching carousel.
No.
Yeah. Carousal, guys.
Lovely.
Well, is that a play on words? Is it like...
No.
Is it like, yeah, it's more like a coaching carousal because everybody's in bed with each other carousing. I don't know. Try to save this guy.
I know, like, I think it's funny to mispronounce words on purpose,
uh-huh.
like a vigilante or a Nick Nolte or
of
something
course.
Like that. But coaching carousal. And I was like, God, other radio host, correct that guy. Correct him.
Yeah.
I know it's like... Bad, you know, like, show must go on. Like, if there's a mistake, just roll with it. Like, pretend it never happened. But it's saying, like, carousal again and again and again. Yeah. You seem stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're showing a level of ignorance when your profession doesn't allow that level of ignorance. I'll give you an example that happened to me the other day.
Please.
I was at the baseball card shop because I collect baseball cards because I'm 34 years old.
Is there a baseball card shop in Austin?
There's a sports card shop.
What is its name?
Austin Sports Cards.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I, yes, that
oh,
is.
Oh, you're getting a lot of attitude from Risk Legacy over here.
No, I'm just amazed, like, that there's an Austin, like, just for Austin sports cards. That's amazing.
Well, no, I mean, it's not just for Austin sports cards. It just happens to be, anyway, we don't have to unpack this.
Seriously, describe the store to me. I really need to know.
Well, it's a place with sports cards featuring all of your Austin heroes. Oh, I guess that's why it's called Austin Sports. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's just.
By the way, before you think I am casting any aspersions on you guys, I was beating myself up today for not buying a print of the Marvel comic character Bullseye when I had a chance. So, proceed, David.
We all like our things that we like.
That's true, and it's cool.
Yeah, I was at the sports card shop, and the cashier was talking to a guy who just bought a lot of baseball cards, and he pronounced the name Jose Abreu, who is a very popular player right now, pronounced it Jose Abu, which that has never been how you pronounce Jose Abreu. And I was like, hey, you buy and sell sports cards, buddy, like, because he showed me all of his eBay auctions on his phone, and I was like, okay, cool, that's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're making friends.
That's all you can do at a sports card shop is just force yourself onto friendship.
How old was he?
40s.
Man, he's probably just given up on trying to pronounce complicated names.
Yeah, those complicated five-letter names.
Yeah.
When, I have a friend, Julia Aguilar, and my grandmother, at some point on my dad's side, was like, Julia, is that with a J? And she's like, just go by Julia. And I looked over and I was like, you know, Grandma, right on. Get him out, right, Grams?
Yeah, that's right.
More jobs.
You conform this way now.
Yep.
But it drives me crazy when people conform their name. Like Chris Tellez. I was fighting the Tellez bandwagon for a long time.
That's right. I had a friend for years. And then one day I caught her on the phone and she was giving her name to, the last name was Tauber. And she was like, or it was Tauber.
Yeah.
Right? Tauber. And she was talking to somebody on the phone. And I was like, gave her first name. And she goes, last name Tauber? And I was like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, my last name's Tauber. I was like, I've been saying Tauber for years. I've known you for 10 years.
Yeah. To your face, yeah. We've said it.
And she's like, yeah, it's fine. It doesn't matter. I was like, it's your name. Make it matter.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that Chris Tellez's name is supposed to be Chris Tellez?
In theory, yes, but he has given up that fight a long time ago.
That's well, he seems really chipper about it. I mean, I thought he'd be...
He's a pretty chipper guy.
Whatever's going to get him the dollar bills, that's fine. I get it. It's a...
I feel really bad now. I didn't know.
No, hey, that's his branding choice.
Yeah, exactly.
You, Brian Lubu Roberts is a strong brand.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest with you, Brian. If I was just looking at something, I was like, Brian Roberts, who's that? Yeah. Is that Robert Bryan's? Do they fuck it up? But Brian Lubu Roberts, there you go.
Yeah.
And people still get the Lubu wrong if they're really drunk.
What do they say?
I've heard Labubu.
Mm. Well, that's fun to say.
I've heard DeLulu.
That, I think it may just be talking like a drunk.
Yeah, these are all drunk people talking.
No, these are all drunk people talking.
Like a 1950s bear talking to you.
It's Balubu.
Yeah. Hey, get over here.
DeLulu.
I got a copy of Swank in the backseat of my car. Let's go drink whiskey. I'll teach you how to beat off.
Well, speaking of branding, have you ever thought about going with Brian Fubu Roberts? I'll leave now.
Bye, David. So, Brian, I'm looking for a co-host.
Yeah. Okay. You got Brian Fubu Roberts.
Do you know anyone who... Oh.
We're gonna give it a shot.
Oh, this is awkward.
Hey.
We're going to give David a chance to redeem himself.
Mac, I'm sorry. I forgot my hat. What happened in the time I was gone?
I quit the show, and now we start a new one, me and you.
Okay.
And our first guest is Brian
Fubu.
Do you know anybody? Oh, that's
what are you
awkward.
Doing? Call me Fubu.
That's awkward.
What are you doing?
Delete this from the file.
Mr. Brian Roberts, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh yeah, no problem.
So where can people find out more about you? You're a busy guy, dude.
You would think so.
Well, but I'm wrong?
No, I got a weekly show. I got that weekly show.
Got a weekly show, which perform, is every Saturday.
Yes, every Saturday at 10, the Institution.
Institution Theater.
I will perform a run with the Tastemakers at some point in the future.
Ooh.
I would love to do that.
Do you guys have a Facebook page or a Twitter account people can follow?
Not the Tastemakers. We have a web page. It's very interesting. Tastemakerscomedy.com.
Ooh. Okay.
It's not blue. It's just very interesting.
I thought it was a GeoCities. That's what I was thinking.
Well, it's very close to a GeoCities.
Cool.
It's not just going to be like a lemon party when I click on the pages.
No, you're not going to be assaulted by bad taste stuff.
It's not going to start off looking like cobbler and then you pull out and it's something else.
And then it's going to be like goatsy. No, you're not going to be in
Tastemakers.com?
No Tastemakerscomedy.com.
Tastemakerscomedy.com.
I couldn't get Tastemakers.com because that's a pretty common.
I hear you, man.
And then my own website, GhettoSketchWarlock.com. I post videos of me and sketches I've written, and that's where our calendar is. You can see where I'm doing, when I'm coming up and doing stuff.
Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, the show's going to be really good.
Yeah,
awesome. David Hutter, how should we get out of here?
Let's get out of here. do we get out of here? Let's say you and I go on a fishing trip that goes awry.
Okay. Nothing like just getting down the lake and going fishing.
Man, this is nice just to get away from everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I got one. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. It's a big one. It's kind of fighting.
It's fighting me. Oh,
oh my God. It's a tank.
No.
Oh, God. Oh. It blasted a cartoon size hole in me.
I lost the deposit on the boat.
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.